My thanks and appreciation also to probably over 50 or 60 workers, Sunday school, Mark Club in the Sunday evening, Bible Quest on Wednesday evening that work with our children, not counting Vacation Bible School and other special events throughout the year. We were blessed by God and recognizing His leadership a little over 5 years ago as we made plans to begin Mark Club that had all the ramifications of Bible Quest and everything else. And we are certainly blessed with the children. Children are wonderful, and we love them, and we're blessed to have them. Two thoughts before I pray. The visitation for Marjean and her family will be held at 1 o'clock today at Davenport Funeral Home. The service will be conducted at 2 o'clock there, and then we will travel to the cemetery, most likely to the mausoleum because of just how damp it is. Please remember Billy, Teresa, and Jean, and their entire family as we remember a fine lady, wonderful, dear, sweet, someone who always smiled, always cared. And she is in the Lord's presence. She is healed, and she is dancing today. But we want to remember them. So keep them in your prayers. If you can come today, we invite you to do that. We've been talking about for months trying to initiate a men's ministry back into the groove. So Alan announces this morning, Friday week, I believe it's the 11th, 6:30 in the morning, for about 45 minutes. We'll have a location, weather permitting, with a bonfire, and we're going to begin with a devotion and a time of prayer. So, gentlemen, I want you to be praying about it and see what God does. That's what we're praying for. So let's pray this morning. So, Father, as we gather here at the end of this another year, many things have come and gone. Many things have happened. Some things have been fulfilled. Others have been postponed. But in our lives, we have worshiped You, and I pray that we've worshiped You well. Again, I thank You for the children that You've blessed us with, and for the multitude of workers who volunteer their time and bless the children with so much talent and energy. I thank You for the music of this church, from the choir to the orchestra and to the ensemble here, to the singing groups, to all that's happening. We look forward to the passion this year. And we pray that You will fill the room when the time comes for the glory of God. But today we remember our loved ones. Today we remember the Gravely family. Today we honor You and praise Your name. And we thank You for being here in our presence. Speak to our hearts. Touch our lives. And Father, we will praise You for all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm returning to our series through the book of Luke. We get back on track today after taking a break since Thanksgiving with a lot of different Christmas and other emphases along the way. Today is a beginning of four messages that have to do with a new beginning. A new beginning because in our circumstances, in our people, with ourselves, and with God. 1, 2, 3, 4. Today is about our circumstances. So maybe 2018 hasn't been great. It has certainly been fast. It's gone by. It seems like yesterday that we were standing here just like this at the end of last year, 2017, going into 18. Maybe you feel like you've been handed a lemon, one after another. Maybe you are abandoned or feel abused or neglected, or you feel hopeless and hurt and forgotten. Maybe on the other side, you're mad and angry and upset about something in your life or somebody else's and things that are happening and going on along the way. Maybe you think you've been overlooked. Maybe you were passed over. Some of our people were not treated, in my opinion, well, but we've gotten through that, and we're praying that God will then reveal himself even better in the new year, no matter what's happened. Maybe you feel like you were thrown under the bus. You ever been thrown under the bus, spiritually speaking, or by a friend or by a group? All of us go through difficult times, and they're hard, and they sometimes make absolutely no sense to us at all. And yet here we are. So I want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Now, you can find the similar message in Matthew. In Matthew's Gospel, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke's Gospel, it's called the Sermon on the Plain. I'm not going to get into all those discussions and arguments. Are they the same message? Is it the same location? Is it one reflecting the mountain and the one reflecting the plain below or all that stuff? Let me remind you of one truth that really overshadows all those discussions. God's message never changes. And just because it's recorded twice in the Scriptures doesn't mean that's the only time Jesus talked about these things, about the kingdom of heaven. I actually believe, can't prove it, but believe that Jesus probably said these same words many times to many people in many locations. That's why both Luke and Matthew and others could record so accurately the words of Jesus Christ. If you've heard some things I've said, you probably remember them and can record them. If you've heard some things other pastors have said, you can remember them and record them. And that's exactly what's happened here. And so in Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 20, it says these words, looking at his disciples now, there on the plain, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." That particular society in which Jesus was in our presence was a poor society overall. It was only a handful of people that had food on their table every day and every night. There's only a few people that had the money to survive really well. People often starved to death, but it was because they were poor. And he said, "But blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, he's speaking spiritually, but he's relating physically to what's going on in their lives. "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied," he tells them. "Blessed are those who weep now. Today we will weep the loss and the homegoing of one of the dearest ladies I've known in my life." But he says, "For you will laugh one day." There will be tears of joy, so to speak. "Blessed are you when people hate you, when people exclude you, when they insult you, when they reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." It's a hard life we live in, but people will do all of these things to us at one time or another. So in verse 23 it says, "Rejoice in that day," meaning in the times of suffering we can still rejoice. The Bible says, "Rejoice always," and again rejoice. "Praise Him always," and praise Him some more. "Pray always," and pray some more. We're told that over and over. It says, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." Jesus came not to establish his earthly reign then, but to establish for all of us the avenue to his kingdom in heaven that will come. So rejoice, leap for joy, great is your reward in heaven, for that is how the ancestors treated the prophets. They treated them poorly. They treated them with disdain. They insulted them. They hated them. A lot of P's can be followed in that, from the president to the prophets to police officers to physicians to preachers. Disdain. It's a world we live in. And all of us have felt the sting of those kinds of hatreds when they come into our lives. Verse 24. He begins a set of warnings. Woe to you who are rich, for you already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Interestingly enough, I think there's a lot to be said here. I want to remind you that what I think Jesus is saying to all of us, and especially now, is we can start over. No matter how bad it is, no matter how bad it was, no matter how difficult in Christ, we can start over. We can begin again. And that's kind of the topic of the message today. I want to give you four thoughts about this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to understand, this particular passage is not the gospel. The gospel begins with something like this: For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus Christ came that our lives might be changed forever, that one day we will live with Him in heaven. But that can't happen because Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of that sin is death, separation, eternal hell and damnation, hellfire, all of that away from the presence of God. But he also reminds us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel. That's the gospel. And he says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel. Do you believe? If you'll believe in your heart and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved, he says. The Bible says, Jesus says, and all these things. But this that we read today is not that. This is more or less something else than I want to get to and share with you in just a moment. But Satan comes along and he tries to say to us, we're not worthy. We're not worthy of God. We're not worthy of forgiveness. We're too bad. We've gone too far. We've made too many messes. And maybe the things happening to us are because we deserve it. Oh, do you ever heard that? I just want to cringe when I hear that. No. Yeah, we deserve punishment for sin, but God doesn't treat us that way. He loves us. And I'll get to that in just a moment. I've seen people who are attempting to prove their salvation by trying to work. I try to find a better way, another way to heaven. And that's a problem. We cannot forget that God gave us the gift of salvation. That's what this Christmas season is all about, is that He came into our lives and brought us hope, love, joy, and peace. The Advent messages represented by the candle. And ultimately, He gave us Christ, our Lord. Secondly, this particular passage is not the Constitution. It is not the word that says, if you don't do these things, you'll die and go to hell. That's not it. The Constitution is the basis of what we live by here in the church, here in our nation. But then there are bylaws that tell us how to do what the Constitution says we're supposed to do. And these are like bylaws, in my thought, as I think about the bylaws of how we are to love, how we are to forgive. He talks about how we are being treated, and ultimately Christ says to us, don't do that to others, but do unto others as you would have them do unto you, not as they're doing unto you. And that's the message of hope in our lives for the future. Thirdly, the sermon tells us, most importantly, this passage, that God cares, that God loves us, that He's here in our presence, and He will never forsake us. He knows we're poor. He knows when we're hungry. He knows when our hearts are broken and we're crying and weeping. He knows when someone hates us or ridicules us or betrays us or abandons us or hurts us and does all those things to us in our lives. He knows what we're going through when we are experiencing the pain and suffering of what this life offers us on a daily basis. But he reminds us that God cares for us personally. John, when he had the vision, said in Revelation, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore. For those former things have passed away. The message in this part of it is all about starting over. Starting anew. Starting brand new and beginning. But it's also a message that has its warnings within it. He warns the rich. He warns the comfortable. He warns those who are well-fed and who overlook the poverty of others. He warns those who are filled with pride and conceit. He warns them. He says in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, to the one who's given much, much is required. Now, that's not a salvation message. That is a message of this is how we're to live. The biggest message that we ought to preach over and over and over again is this one. Forgive them. Forgive them. It's hard to forgive. You can't do it without God. You have to have the Lord in your life. So we forgive. We can start over. Say, God, with your help, we can make it through this. And we're warned we can't act like the world. That's what he's saying in these warnings to us this morning. Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it's difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into God's presence. Now, we read that, and especially in the King James, we think about an eye of a little needle, and that's what our mind is. We go, that's just impossible. Well, here's the deal. That's not what it's talking about. In Jerusalem, there are entrances through the wall all around, and one of those, all of them are named, and one of them is named the eye of the needle. And that's what it's called, and that's what Jesus is referring to. And it got walled up so that it was only big enough for a man to walk through as he stooped. And for a camel to get down on its knees and crawl through is almost impossible because they don't do that. And that's what he's referring. It's not impossible. It's just more difficult. Now, we may not be rich, but we're well fed. We're content and we're happy. And it could be just as difficult for us to make it through to the kingdom if we're not careful in how we live our lives. Because if we're not trying to live according to His will, then it's really possible that we are not knowing Him at all. That's all He's warning us about in this message. We have to be careful. We have to be in touch. We have to know that ultimately this message is all about starting over. So what does it mean to start over? Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. Isaiah prophesied about what God wanted to do in our lives, and he said in Isaiah 43, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old, but behold, I'm doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers and in the desert. The bottom line is, to start over, you have to let things be made new. That is the spirit of repentance. That is the spirit of pouring it all out before God and saying, I can't handle this anymore. But I'm not giving up. I'm moving forward. I'm not stopping. I'm starting over. And I'm doing it through Jesus Christ. What a great thought to have as you make your New Year's resolutions. Paul reminded us, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. The old's passed away, and behold, the new has come into our lives. So we're encouraged and we're reminded that in Christ Jesus, we are brand new and we can start all over again. The Bible tells us in several places how we're to start over. Get that up. Get all that up there. First of all, it says to repent in Acts 3, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Christ appointed for you, the Christ appointed for you. You know, I have to ask forgiveness because there are times when inside of me it wells up and I get a lot of anger toward those two men. But it's not me to judge. And we're told to judge not, that we be not judged. And so I have to repent of those angry feelings. It's not easy. In fact, it's very hard. Then we have to confess. 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's brand new. To make me brand spanking new. And then there's another scripture there, James 5:16, that I didn't tell you about. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray. Pray for one another. So when we finish today, we're going to pray for one another as we enter into 2019. Four thoughts. Remember the Lord. Whatever you do as you make those resolutions, remember the Lord. Now, I'm told that most resolutions are broken within 3 weeks. Boy, I hope that diet doesn't break in 3 weeks. But that's the way it is. But with Christ, starting new and being focused, it can make a difference. It will make a difference in our lives. Remember who also your Creator in the days of your youth, because the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you say, I have no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes. Don't worry. Don't dwell. Seek a new heart in Christ. Repent. I've already read 1 John 1:9, quoted it. We have to remind ourselves that we're not perfect. We haven't arrived. There are things we do that are wrong. And there's not one of us that is perfect and made it yet. Then we want to renew our heart. And that's where we're going to pray today. Praying today for the renewal of our spirit, like a revival flowing fresh into our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, so that the newness can be felt again. Where we take that deepest breath, and you feel the relaxation of the spirit come into your life. Which leads us to the last one, which I don't really have a scripture for other than Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to rest in the truths of God's Word. I don't know what you're going to do about your New Year's resolutions. I don't even know if you're going to make any this year, but I'm going to sit down and write a few out for myself, for my family. I'm going to make a prayer list for those who are hurting and keep it a little bit better than I've been keeping in the past and journaling it. I'm going to ask God to renew my spirit, to allow 2019 to be a better, more wonderful place glorify His name. I ask you this morning, will you do the same? Take all that stuff. And some of it's legitimate. I mean, ours is legitimate. Take all that stuff. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Say, Lord, take it. Remove it. Help me start over. Blessed, for the kingdom of God is ours. Let's pray. Lord, I know that your Spirit has touched all of us today, not because of my words, but because of your Spirit. And your desire for us is that we would be made brand new. That only happens when our sins are forgiven, covered by the blood of Christ. And when we submit ourselves to you to allow you to do in us what only you can do. And so our prayer is, let us start over. Let us love one another. Let us forgive as we have been forgiven. Let us do unto others exactly what Christ would do for them, as we would want them to do for us. Let us know and feel and experience the power of your Holy Spirit within us. And as you make us new, raise us up to tell the world what Jesus can do for them. And I pray, and I beg this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. This is his song. Let's stand as God speaks to your heart. You repent, you revive, you remember. Pray God gives you a year of favor full of an unending love. I'm praying that we can start afresh and anew with the Spirit of God shining through us for the world to hear us as we go tell it. From the mountain, from the plain, wherever, in Jesus' name. Let's pray. As we dismiss, Lord, we know we're not dismissed. We're just simply commissioned to go forth and go out and tell it, tell the world from our mountains, from our plains about Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the good things of this past year. Thank you for the things we've learned from the bad things. And help us now to move forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.